So the war of words between Sinn Féin and the DUP is escalating. In an interview in the Irish News today, Martin McGuinness has really had a pretty major pop at Peter Robinson. He's quoted in the paper saying the DUP leader has been dancing to the tune of loyalist extremists. The DUP MP and MLA Gregory Campbell with this morning. How do you respond to that, Gregory? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I think it's very unfortunate, Stephen, and I suppose when you look at the issue of Sinn Féin about to have their annual conference, you can't divorce the comments that a very senior member and Deputy First Minister is saying a few days before that happens. But we've got to take it in the round. And
I just wonder, Gregory, sorry to interrupt, because I want to be able to hear what you say this morning. Your mobile phone is interfering with the signal today. Would you be able to move it away from the mic or turn it off?
I'll just turn it off, Stephen. That might help.
Good man.
Is that better now?
Yeah, that's better. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't think we can divorce the annual conference of Sinn Féin and the very predominant number of Southern speakers for some reason in Sinn Féin this year. But that's an internal matter for them. But let's look at this issue of Martin McGuinness talking, and this is not the first time he's talked about this dancing to extremist tune. Now, is this, people have to ask themselves, why are Sinn Féin doing this now? Whenever you examine, not the rhetoric, but examine the reality. Now, the reality, and there are a number of things here. I want to go through them quickly, Stephen. If we look at welfare reform is a very difficult piece of legislation that is not just going to affect people who are unemployed or people on low income, but it's going to affect every single person in Northern Ireland. And the reason it's going to affect us all is because there is an amount of money, up to £5 million every month, is going to be deducted from the block grant that we can't spend on roads, education, health and a whole
series. What's this got to do with the relationship between McGuinness and Robinson?
Well, what it's got to do with it is this, that we oppose the introduction of welfare reform. We voted against it in the House of Commons when Sinn Féin were absent because they have an abstentionist policy. Then when it came here, we said, look, we need to get some changes. And to be fair to all the parties, including our own minister, Nelson McCausland, we worked at getting some flexible changes introduced to that welfare reform, which we've achieved. Now, because Sinn Féin are saying, no, we still don't want to implement it, we've still got problems internally, we still can't sell it internally, we're not going to go ahead with it. Our response to them is to say, look, if you can't sort out your internal problems, everybody in Northern Ireland has to pick up the tab.
This is a far cry away, though, from what Martin McGuinness is talking about. He is basically saying, Gregory, as you well know, that the loyalist extremists who are out protesting and who do not represent the will of the majority of the people in Northern Ireland, some would argue, that somehow your party is frightened of them, that somehow your party is really, really desperately scared to annoy them or take them on. And they would say it's time for Peter Robinson to stand up and tell them, get off the streets. There are more important things in Northern Ireland.
Well, you see,
that's what this is about.
Yes. If Martin McGuinness and Sinn Féin really believed that that was the case, then what they would have to do is examine what is at the core of much of what the unionist community are complaining about. And those are the issues that we in the DUP have been raising, whether it's the flag, whether it's the underrepresentation in much of the public sector in terms of jobs for the Protestant community, whether it's trying to do battle against those who are trying to diminish our Britishness, a whole series of things. That we don't run away from that. We don't say that we're pandering to extremism and contesting those issues. Those issues are at the core of what we stand for. So we're not going to run away from that.
So are you honestly telling me that you believe at the very heart of the unionist people in Northern Ireland, that the most important political issue for them in Northern Ireland are flags and emblems? You telling them that's what they get up and want you guys to care about?
That's not what I just said. I talked about jobs for many people in Northern Ireland. and the underrepresentation in the, of the Protestant community in much of the public sector. That's got nothing to do with flags. I'm talking about us trying to ensure that the welfare reform procedure is implemented in such a way to minimise the problems that many people will face. That's nothing to do with flags. But there is a diminution of Britishness that we've got to contest. And I, just a few minutes ago on my way up to Stormont Parliament buildings, I saw that today is one of the designated days in the Union flags are flying from Stormont. So that's good. But we've got to build on that, and Sinn Féin seem to not want to accept
But
that.
Do you not think that, the Gregory, it's a fair criticism of your party that you're trying to have it both ways? So you have the anti-Sinn Féin rhetoric. You very much, and some of the members of your party very much, position yourselves with those people who are levelling pretty stark language against Sinn Féin. And yet you're working with them as well in government. How does that work?
Well, Stephen, it has worked for the past number of years, because it is the truth of where we are. Sinn Féin are a party in transition. They are obviously having internal difficulties, whether on welfare reform, whether on, for example, the National Crime Agency, and everybody will be affected by crime or the fear of crime, and yet it isn't unionists who are stopping the implementation of the National Crime Agency. It's Republicans and some nationalists as well.
Okay.
So, you know, this is not a case of us sort of playing hard man before the election, because the things that are being said now by people whom Martin McGuinness seems to take exception with, those things are going to be said during the election, and see, the day after the count, they'll be said then as well. See, the things that Martin McGuinness is complaining about and obviously feeling very sore about, it's time he got used to those, because that's the way it is. Now, that's the way it is. Now, he might not like it, that he might rail against it, but that's the way it's going to be. And he is going to have to work with the unionist community. He's going to have to work under the union flag that's flying it.
So a war of attrition all the time.
No, it's not a war of attrition. It's the factual position of where we are, Stephen. Now, we've got to go on and improve. The unemployment rate has been coming down. We've got to build on that. Martin McGuinness and Peter Robinson were fronting up a whole series of inward investment.
But we're going to need a working relationship, a good relationship between the First and Deputy First Minister, if that is to be achieved.
Well, it is difficult to have that if you have somebody, for example, like Martin McGuinness, who's taking legal advice about what he can or can't say when the police come calling as a result of the Bloody Sunday investigation. Now, why does he have to take legal advice? He has to take legal advice because he's already under oath in the Savile Tribunal said that he was the second in command of the Provisional IRA when people were being slaughtered in Londonderry by the organisation that he was the 2IC of.
The Bloody Sunday investigation, can I remind you, is about the killing of civilians by the army,
amongst other things. And I hope nobody will suggest that only one series of investigations will take place and not others. Now, and I understand in the interview that you've alluded to in the Irish News, he's alluded to the fact that Martin McGuinness himself is going to take legal advice about what he can or cannot say whenever the police talk to him as a witness at the Savile Tribunal. Now, that's the question I'm posing. Why does he have to take legal advice? We know the answer. He has to take legal advice because of what he said at the Savile Tribunal.
Let me go back to this point I made earlier, Gregory, about whether your party is actually fearful, dancing to the tune of the so-called hardliners. And I guess your critics would argue a shining example of that would be the complete U-turn over the Mays side. So it was yes, yes, yes about the Mays. The so-called hardliners up the ante. Did the DUP stand up tall and say, no, this is the right thing to do, as we have publicly said for a long time? No. Complete U-turn, letter from America, and as Martin McGuinness points out in the newspaper, not even a phone call to the Deputy First Minister of this country to tell him what your party's view was.
Well, let's look.
Did
at
you
that
run thing. Scared?
No, no. Let's look at the factual position.
Spooked.
There. Let's just look at that. What happened was, we had said consistently we wanted to develop the Mays site and we wanted to see a peace and reconciliation centre there. And we said repeatedly that we would not stand for or abide with a shrine to terrorism. Now, we were working through that. when in the months before a decision had to be made about proceeding on the Mays site, we had the word Castlederg introduced into the lexicon. And what happened in Castlederg was Sinn Féin organised a commemorative event which appeared to many people in County Tyrone to glory in the deaths of the people whom the IRA had murdered.
There were Castlederg commemorations for years before you went
there
down the power
sharing.
There
wasn't one in the town in which those people that were murdered actually lived, and their relatives still live there to this day. And many of us, myself and others included, went to Castlederg on that day and saw the glorification. At that point, and leading up to that point, it became very clear to us that Sinn Féin were going to manipulate things and were going to commemorate events in such a way that the unionist community would not believe that they would walk away from glorifying terror.
So are you telling...
And there was only one way to deal with that, was to make absolutely rock bottom sure that there would be no shrine at
so
the Mays.
Are you telling me that there would be a Mays project if Castlederg hadn't happened?
No, I'm saying if there was a series of events that Sinn Féin were involved
series
in,
of events
well,
now.
Well, whether it was Castlederg or other events, if whether it's play parks down in Newry or wherever, there was a series of events that made it clear that Sinn Féin aren't yet in the position to have turned their back on their past. They seem to want to wallow in it over and over again.
So you don't accept Republican commemorations?
We don't accept Republican commemorations that appear to solidify and give some sort of valedictory treatment and salute of bravery to people who were cowards and murderers. We don't do that. If people want to have some sort of private
Republican have
they're entitled to do that.
Republicans
not in the way they did at Castlederg or at the play park.
When you had said yes to the Mays project, as you well know, you were aware that Republicans would be holding commemorations. They had done so in the past. They had done so before the Mays was raised, and they were likely to continue to do so. You knew that. Something
Stephen,
happened. You were spooked by the so-called hardliners.
In all
you wobbled.
The years that Sinn Féin and others were holding commemorations, to my knowledge, they did not name a children's play park after a terrorist. They did not do that, but they did last year. They reinforced it last year. They did not hold a commemorative event in the town of Castlederg. They've held commemorative events elsewhere near the place where the people were killed.
Can I point out, Gregory, that play park had been named after that individual for many years.
And they reinforced it last year.
Well.
They reinforced it again. So there was a series of events that... And you would have thought with the passage of time and the fact that they'd turned their backs on violence, they could find it in themselves to say, well, look, whatever we said or done at the time, there's obviously now, on hindsight, no justification for it. If they'd said that, I think people would say, well, there's a group, there's a party who are obviously moving on, maturing and saying, whatever we done, we did.
And what can
but now that it's years afterwards, we understand the pain, we apologise for the pain that we inflicted, but rather than apologising, they were wallowing in it. Once they did that, that sounded the death knell for that project. But let's build for the future. Let's get jobs. Let's get investment. Let's build the projects that we see that are out there and can be built on for the future.
Tell me this, Gregory. What's the difference between Castlederg and the loads of Easter commemorations and Easter Sunday?
Well, by and large, the Easter commemorations don't walk through areas where people have been murdered, like what happened in Castlederg. Those, while they're not acceptable, they tend to take place in hardline Republican areas, or else they go to cemeteries where the people have died and are buried. They don't march through a town where dozens of people have been murdered and very, very few of them have been solved in terms of those been brought to justice that carried out those atrocities. That's the difference.
Martin McGuinness says in this Irish News article that... He points out 6 years into power sharing, more than three quarters of DUP MLAs will not acknowledge him when he even passes them in the Stormont corridors. Are you one of them?
Well, now, there's a thing. Now, the Deputy First Minister, how long has he been at Stormont? How long has he been up here? How long have we been working and doing business with him? And this far on, in the political evolution of Northern Ireland.
Have you spoken to him?
Well, I
would you nod to him? Would you say hello to him?
I do business with Martin McGuinness.
Would you say hello to him
and,
if he was in the corridor?
The reason I do business with Martin McGuinness is twofold. Number one, he now realises that the murder and terror that the organisation that he was the 2IC of hasn't worked, and he's changed tactic. I welcome that change in tactic.
Are you one of the people that would not acknowledge him?
Don't worry, Stephen. I will
not avoid the question.
I will not avoid the question. And everybody at Stormont knows the answer to the question, and I won't avoid it. Now, I do business with him because he now realises the terror tactic didn't work. The other reason I do business with him is because he gets votes. When he puts his name, it's unfortunate, it's regrettable, it's something I don't particularly like, but I cannot hide my head in the sand. He gets votes.
Any chance for an answer anytime soon?
For those two reasons, I do business with him. If he wants me to acknowledge, sit down, talk to, have tea with, then he's going to have to wait an awful long time. Is that clear enough answer to your question?
So you wouldn't even say good morning to him?
If we have business to do, I do it. Whatever business we have to do. I mean, a couple of years ago, I raised in the chamber an issue about passports, which affect many people in Northern Ireland who were born in the Republic. And Martin McGuinness said on the floor of the chamber in Stormont that he would be delighted to discuss the matter with me further.
You see,
and I suppose he said that because he thought Campbell won't come and meet with me. I went out of the chamber, straight round to his office and arranged a meeting, and we had a meeting. So you know, this business of they won't talk with us, they won't have tea with us.
Well, he is saying three quarters.
They won't give us the time of day.
Three quarters of DUP MLAs, he's saying, won't even acknowledge him in the corridor.
No.
And yet, here's my point. And yet, Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness will travel the world trying to promote this image that there is not just reconciliation in Northern Ireland, but that politicians who were very much at loggerheads in the past, who were old enemies in the past, have now put peace, and not just peace, but the country first, and are prepared to not just work with each other, but to try to understand each other. And that's my point that I'm pressing with you this morning.
Yes.
That's the image that Northern Ireland is trying to say to the rest of the world. These old enemies trying to understand each other. And if McGuinness is telling the truth, then three quarters of the DUP MLAs won't even nod at him in a corridor. Tell you what, see the next time we're on a trip to America or China, wherever it is, trying to get business, tell them that truth.
Well, Stephen, you see, what you've got to ask yourself, whatever about the numbers and whatever style that people use to deal with Sinn Féin from the non-violent communities, whatever style they use, you've got to ask yourself, why would people who would normally acknowledge anyone, why would they, on an informal basis, not acknowledge someone? Would it be because of their past? Would it be because of their attempt to glorify terror, but they get votes and they just have to get on with
it? But you can't have it both ways, can you?
I think we shouldn't deal in semantics, Stephen.
But you have told, your party has told the electorate, Gregory, that with whatever difficulties you had with the Sinn Féin and members of Sinn Féin, who you've alluded to this morning, in the past, your party has said, look, things are different now.
That's right, and for the two reasons that I outlined.
And you're telling the world, not just the electorate here.
Yep, for the two reasons I outlined. They've realised that the violence of the past didn't work. That's good and welcome. They should have realised that 30 years ago. But it's good. It has moved on. Let's keep moving on. The second thing is they get votes. People vote for them. So what we've got to do is we have to get down and do business with each other. That's what we're doing. The important thing is not how we do business. The important thing is that we do it. Now, that's why I'm at Stormont. That's presumably why Martin McGuinness is at Stormont.
Okay.
Now, it might be that the 2016 project, the big project which was supposed to be 100 years after 1916, it's now a remote, distant nightmare for some people, dream for others. It ain't going to happen. Now, that might be, it might be the case that some people in Sinn Féin are saying, well, what are we going to do about that? And that's what this rhetoric is about. But look, all of us have to put that to one side and let's get on with trying to build a better future. Because people acted the way they did in the past, if they've moved beyond that now, that's good. Now, let's get on with it. Let's not deal with semantics about who nods or smiles or says good morning. Do we do business with each other? Yes. Now, let's do business for the good of everybody in Northern Ireland. Let's build on those unemployment statistics that are going down, more jobs, more inward investment, small business rates relief.
Well, just so that
those programs. Let's build on that.
Just so that I understand where you're coming from personally, talking about smiling, were you one of the ones in the DUP who was in revolt when Ian Paisley sat beside Martin McGuinness and smiled at him and laughed with him and chuckled with him?
Stephen, you're really, really struggling now this morning. There mustn't be very many callers coming in this morning if this is what you've dropped to. Come on. Look, we're dealing with serious business here.
That was a good attempt to avoid the question. Yeah, well done.
And your question was a good attempt to deflect.
So you don't want to answer it.
From the substance of it. Look, the views of many, many people in Northern Ireland, including me and others, are very well known about how we deal with Sinn Féin. You know, they've done what they've did in the past. Thankfully, they've stopped doing it. People vote for them. Now, let's get on with that.
What is the relationship
of making Northern Ireland better?
What is your understanding of the relationship between Martin McGuinness and Peter Robinson?
It's a working relationship.
But what does that actually mean?
Stephen, are you looking for a headline or what?
No.
It means that each realises that they have to do business with the other because people on either side vote for them. Now, we're the two biggest parties, so we have to get on with the other parties, the Alliance Party, the Ulster Unionist Party and the SDLP, and all the other parties that are in here as well. And we've got to try and make progress and build for the future.
I actually seriously wonder if you've woken up this morning, right? I know it's early in the morning, but here's the crack. You have got our Deputy First Minister accusing the First Minister of dancing to the tune of loyalist extremists. And then you're trying to tell me, oh, the working relationship's fine. They'll go in there. Peter will pop into Marty's office later on. If there's business to be done, they'll sit down and nothing would be said. I would put it to you that the relationship is deteriorating to such a point that it's a fair question for me to ask you, is business going to continue as normal?
So that's what this is about then. Is it the Nolan Show trying to do their little bit to talk up a crisis? Is that what this is about?
So you're not angry with what the Deputy First Minister has said?
Well, I acknowledge that he said it.
It's irrelevant, is it?
Well, no. Why do you insist on trying to put words in my mouth? Look, it is indicative of many of the problems that Sinn Féin have. Now, that's their problem. Let them resolve it. We'll see how they get on at their annual conference this week. We'll see how Martin McGuinness gets on as he sits in the Deputy First Minister's here in Stormont with the flag flying above it outside. Now, we'll make progress. There are difficulties, of course. Well, I don't understand why people believed that there wouldn't be difficulties such as there are, given the history that this country has had. That with a 25 or 30 years of murder and terror, how on earth could it be otherwise? We're going to take a few years to work ourselves away from the dim and distant past that the IRA principally, but loyalist paramilitaries and others, all brought us to. But they are distant memories and becoming more distant memories as each month and year goes by. I just wish Sinn Féin could acknowledge that and try and move on and put some distance between themselves and what they engaged
in. He says, Gregory, and I don't know, you can blame the media for this or whoever, but he's not. McGuinness has also said, I'm embarrassed, quote, I'm embarrassed by the image of the executive, the image of the assembly among the public. Are you?
He has said that.
Are you?
A matter for him to explain what he meant by that.
Are you?
Let's look at what has happened in the past year or thereabouts. You know, whether we have the 17,000 new jobs that both Invest Northern Ireland and others have announced in recent years, whether we have the inward investment programmes that First and Deputy First Minister have pioneered, whether we have the whole issue of tourism, the Titanic project, the Causeway, we have a whole series of good news projects. Now, if Martin McGuinness is saying, despite all of that good news, that he, as Deputy First Minister, has been part of, that he's embarrassed, well, that's a matter for him to explain. That is a matter for him. There are problems. No one should doubt that there are problems. Of course there are. But are we going to let those problems weigh us down? Or are we going to say, look, whatever about people's past, we're going to build now for the present and for the future? That's what being at Stormont should be about.
Gregory Campbell, thank you very much indeed.